the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hey, I see you've got a bag from my favorite makers of bath and body stuff, Bubble Genius. What's in the bag?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah, I would. I love their silly soaps.
Gee, you sound pretty Amsterdam excited to see what bubbly treat I've got.
Well, yeah. So, what'd you get?
I'm trying to tell you if you just pay attention. Okay, I'll give you one last hint. Dutch shoe!
Bless you? Hey, why won't you tell me what Bubble Genius soap is in the bag?
I guess I've really got to spell it out for you. I got the Dutch treat wooden shoe soap. All vegetable-based, of course, and smelling like delicious sunshine.
Oh, cool! So, a clog you'd actually want going down your drain!
Those Bubble Geniuses sure are Bubble Geniuses!
BubbleGenius.com!
Awesome.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Do you like Phil Collins?
I've been a big Genesis fan ever since the release of their 1980 album, Duke. Before that, I really didn't understand any of their work. It was too artsy, too intellectual. It was on Duke where Phil Collins' presence became more apparent. I think Invisible Touch is the group's undisputed masterpiece. It's an epic meditation on intangibility. At the same time, it deepens and enriches the meaning of the preceding three albums. Christy, take off the road. Listen to the brilliant ensemble playing of Banks, Collins, and Rutherford. You can practically hear every nuance of every instrument. Sabrina, remove your dress.
Ice!
Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hey, it's Wednesday, July 17th, 2013, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez. We're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius. The best bath and body products in the entire universe. Woman-owned, independent, liberal. You got to buy that stuff. You got to go there and buy a bunch of Bubble Genius stuff.
Don't just stare at it, eat it.
That's right. We're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Charles, easily the best attorney I've ever dealt with. He's fast, smart, he knows how to communicate with his clients. The Bowen Group offers commercial, banking, manufacturing, employment, personal injury, and medical malpractice law. Large firm experience, small firm attention, elite firm ability. TheBowenLawGroup.com. Click the link on the podcast page. So, I think I'm just in full Patrick Bateman mode right now because I've been, I had to play that because I've been listening to Genesis like nonstop for the last month plus. I never was a huge Genesis fan. I always kind of appreciated their musicianship, but I was never
too artsy, too
intellectual. But I've had lots of their albums. I've owned most of their albums for years. And I've only just recently kind of, I don't know, maybe you just grow into music like that. You just grow
I was a huge Genesis fan when I was a kid. In addition to everything else that I liked, I waited in line overnight to get tickets to see them at like the Orange Bowl.
Yeah. They're supposed to be incredible shows. I never got to see them live. But
yeah, no, they're obviously a great band.
I mean, I'd always been into prog rock. I was really into Yes and Rush and all those bands, Pink Floyd and whatnot. But, you know, Genesis was sort of a second-tier band to me. I appreciated them, but I was never really into them. But now I'm totally obsessed with them. I feel like Patrick Bateman. American Psycho.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm the first one to say, and I get into arguments with certain friends of mine all the time. I will go full Bateman here and say that I don't like the more progressive Genesis. I don't like the more progressive Rush. I liked it when Phil Collins took over, and I don't think that Invisible Touch was anywhere near their best record. I do think that they started to go off sort of the deep end there at the end. But I mean, yeah, Duke was a great album. The Genesis self-titled album was fantastic, yeah, that Hugh Padgham produced. Mm-hmm. And once Rush became, when they started writing 5-minute songs.
Yeah, more personal songs. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked that a hell of a lot more than, 2112.
Yeah, yeah.
I picked up on Rush. I love Permanent Waves, but I really picked up on Rush beginning at Signals.
Yeah, Signals, great album. I love all of it. I mean, I'm one of those rare Rush fans that I actually really, really like the 80s Rush.
So do I.
Really synthy, pop-oriented Rush.
I think Power Windows was incredible.
Power Windows, Hold Your Fire, yeah. And Presto is one of my all-time favorite albums. Presto, which is like 1989, I think that album came out.
For Rush, towards the end of the 80s, I got a little bit like I liked Presto. I didn't love it, but I liked it. But I love Power Windows, and then I really love where they suddenly picked up at like the beginning of the 90s with Counterparts, which was just freaking incredible from start to finish.
Oh, yeah. That's one of their greatest albums.
Record.
Yeah, yeah. They did a series of fantastic albums just from Signals all the way through. Well, hell. My least favorite of that group is Test for Echo, but
you celebrate their entire catalog.
I do. I do. And I have sex to all of their songs, and I talk about their songs during sex.
Wow. How are you still getting married?
Do you like Phil Collins? I've always been a big Genesis fan.
Do you like Rush?
Take off your dress.
Again, don't just stare at it. Eat it.
Do you like the Presto album?
I felt that Rupert Hine really streamlined their production.
Okay, let's get into serious stuff here. This is going to end up being like the racism show. I don't know why, but there was one story. I do know why. I mean, obviously, the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman verdict over the weekend has produced a lot of racism stories.
Oh, yeah.
It's one after another. And we're gonna start with my friend and yours, David Sirota.
Jackass.
Who just went way, way out on a limb. Just out there, way out there on the thin part of the limb, then grabbed a hacksaw and started to saw the inside part of the limb.
But he did it for exactly the reason that you sort of unwittingly stated at the beginning of your piece about it in the Daily Banter, which is we've been concentrating on Glenn Greenwald for so long that we'd forgotten about little Davy Sirota. And so Davy Sirota doesn't like that. So he decided to fire off another one of his dumbass polemics where he makes some ridiculous assertion guaranteed to, get him troll outrage. So he trolled us.
Yeah. Oh, he totally did. Totally did. And I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. Because this what, and I said, this is actually bad. This makes the whole thing worse. That it was so clearly link bait.
Yeah. That's what he does.
It wasn't about an intellectually honest assertion or some sort of think piece. It was about, look at me. Look at me. I'm David Sirota. I'm still here.
Right. I mean, it's interesting because obviously I detest Greenwald when it comes to his quote unquote journalism, his thinking, the way he beats down opponents. You know how I feel about Greenwald. I don't need to run down the Greenwald thing. And yet for some reason, I have more respect for him than I do David Sirota. And I always have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Sirota's an also-ran. He's just a joke.
Sirota is the kind of guy who didn't really change gears all that much from the wild outrage of the Bush years. It's like that style is still evident in his writing. I think a lot of us have changed our approach a little bit since the election of Barack Obama, since the Bush administration went away. There's been a change in tone in terms of how we approach these pieces. The only thing different is now that, Sirota has jumped on this bandwagon, this faction of the left that feels like it's imperative that they just tear the crap out of, you know, this Democratic president, the first African-American president. I mean, this leads to, in case you missed the article, what he did, Sirota wrote over the weekend that, or was it over the weekend? I don't remember. It was earlier this week.
I can't remember. I think it was early this week.
Sirota's reaction to the George Zimmerman verdict, the acquittal of George Zimmerman, was to compare Barack Obama and the use of drones against Anwar al-Awlaki to George Zimmerman shooting Trayvon Martin.
Yeah, so we're all threats now.
Yeah. So are you getting the comparison here? Barack Obama is George Zimmerman. Anwar al-Awlaki is Trayvon Martin. I mean, you want to talk about a massive, I mean, an unprecedented fail. This was
in an unprecedented, well, it's not unprecedented, a gigantic troll. Yeah. Which is exactly, I'll tell you something. Here's the thing about Sirota. He played his hand. Mm-hmm. He showed you his hand a long time ago.
Yeah.
I always say this every time I've ever brought up Sirota. Always keep in mind, he wrote an entire book, the premise of which was that our current political climate is the result of Die Hard and Ghostbusters.
That's right.
And he did it with completely straight face.
Uh-huh.
That is the ultimate troll.
Yeah.
The ultimate. And that's why, and no matter what he says, I always just go back to that. I'm like, this is the guy who wrote that book.
He's got
and that's it, you know?
He's got a simile problem. He has a real issue with creating valid one-to-one simile.
He's not very bright.
No.
And so because of that, He does these reaches, these, you know, especially when he has something in his mind that he needs to hit with confirmation bias.
Yeah. How
where he'll basically say, oh, well, yeah, I can make this work backwards and make it fit my argument. And look, mm-hmm. I did that. I came up with this analogy that makes absolutely no goddamn sense.
Yeah. I mean, it was complete and utter fail. I mean, this is, as I was reading it, that sound was going through my head. It's terrible. You say that Trayvon Martin, this kid, this unarmed kid carrying nothing but Skittles and a bottle of iced tea, is like Anwar al-Awlaki, who's on video record as calling for the deaths of Americans, who trained the underwear bomber, for God's sake.
The other beautiful thing about it is that I love it when Sirota plays white savior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there are so many people who are hammering over sort of his, you know how much I hate the term white privilege, but they're hammering over him over it because obviously he's, you know, he's accusing or comparing the black president of the United States to a guy who killed a black, you know, an unarmed black kid.
Yeah. Well, it's not shocking. It's not shocking. And this leads to sort of the point of what I wrote about. I mean, I made an effort not to just say, oh, look how stupid and racist sounding Sirota is, blah, blah, blah. What I wanted to do was dovetail all of that with this ongoing observation I've had that there are a lot of really bad optics on the left. This whole Greenwald Sirota faction that has been growing on the left since the 2008 election season. And it's been increasing in size, increasing in loudness. And it's reached a fever pitch over the last month with all of this Edward Snowden stuff. And what they're failing to do is to observe exactly how they sound from the outside looking in. Because you couple something like this, where they're comparing the first African-American president, this icon of racial advancement, to a guy who's universally despised by African-Americans, George Zimmerman. I mean, that in and of itself looks really, really bad.
You know me. I'm not of the opinion that because Barack Obama is black, you give him a pass on everything.
No. That's not it at all.
You know, his place in history assures him a pass. But damn, yeah. When it comes to racial issues, you do need to seriously choose your words and your actions very carefully.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote in my piece, it's not about criticizing the president. It's fine to have fair criticisms of the president, of any elected leader. But what's going on in that faction of the left is not just fair criticism. They are literally calling for this guy to be arrested and prosecuted for war crimes, among other things. And that puts him in league with, or in their view, puts him in league with guys like George Zimmerman, who kill in cold blood. thoughtlessly. Right. That's how they're painting Barack Obama. They want to see this guy. They want to see the first African-American president arrested, jailed, or if not worse, for murdering hundreds of people with drones, etc., for eavesdropping, for all of these things, all these crimes against international and domestic law. That looks horrible. Horrible. It's not just, I mean, I've been talking about whether it was Barack Obama or whether it would have been Hillary Clinton, doesn't matter. The when you have someone who's closer to your values than your political enemies, you want to use smart accountability.
Oh,
to hold
just,
them accountable
just stop,
in a,
just
in a
stop.
Smart way.
I love you, but seriously, no, seriously. How long, that's the thing, how long have we been talking about this?
Oh, yeah.
How long have we been saying, you have to use smart accountability? I always love it when you make, there are certain arguments that you make that have a period on the end of them. You know, I'm going to reference, I'm not going to give anything away for you, Bob, but I'm going to reference something from, sort of reference something from the newsroom this past week, the season premiere. You know, there are things that you can say that have a period on the end of them. And one of those arguments is, look, here's how it's going to work. You're going to get a president that gives you 50, 60, 70% of what you want, or you're going to get a president that gives you 0% of what you want and laughs in your face. Period. Yeah. Those are your choices. Those are your choices.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you don't hold either of them accountable. It doesn't mean that you hold the person who's not giving you everything you want accountable for the things that he is not giving you. It just means you have to accept that this is political reality.
Yeah.
This is reality. And only a child stomps its feet at reality and goes, and crosses its arms.
Yeah.
And pretends that reality doesn't exist.
Well, what you don't want to do is destroy the broader effort for the sake of your four or five pet issues, your four or five gripes, where you inflate those four or five gripes into a broad damnation of the whole thing. Where you say, this guy is not only making a mistake in these four or five issue areas, but he's also worthy of arrest, prosecution, and imprisonment for them. I mean, that is a huge mistake. And yeah, I mean, I've been talking about smart accountability from the very beginning. This is how we ought to be approaching, because a lot of people first started following politics, writing about politics actively during the Bush years, and kind of unfamiliar with following along with a Democratic president, with a friendly in the White House. But this is how it ought to be approached, because otherwise, I was around kind of doing this stuff when Clinton was president, and I remember what happened when the left almost universally damned this guy and doomed the Al Gore candidacy. I don't want to see that happen again. And so that's why I just find this such an important centerpiece issue for the left. You know, it's universally frustrating. There's one other aspect to these three different bad optics thing that I want to get to after a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Show.
Okay, there's one more thing that we'll talk about on the Sirota issue. It's that you couple these other things, this Sirota piece with, you know, the war criminal president position. You combine that with this Stand With Rand stuff, which I wrote about last week. I don't feel the need to go into too much detail about it. But you're standing with a guy who has serious race problems. He's had at least two staffers who are clearly racists. Plus, he's got weird views on the Civil Rights Act. Well, not weird. They're just obnoxious and wrong with regards to the Civil Rights Act. He's a nullificationist, you know, basically a state's rights tenther, torn from the John C. Calhoun cloth. Really ought to read that Sam Tannenhouse piece where he wrote about the racist past of basically what amounts to the modern Republican Party. It's a really great piece. I've linked to it a few times in my columns. Maybe I'll link to it again on the blog page. But we combine all these things, and it seems like this group on the left is utterly tone deaf about how they appear. And again, it's not about giving the president a pass. It's not about universally praising him because he's black or half black or whatever.
And, I'm so loving, you know, if you follow on Twitter and you watch, especially, you know, Sirota's a prime example. Mm-hmm. If you watch the sort of debate on Twitter where, again, the white savior thing, where I've watched Sirota actually lecture black people who are defending the president, mm-hmm. and he's lecturing them from the position of, I care more about people of color than you do.
Yeah.
Which is just, you fucking idiot. You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the beauty of it. I hate this term, but you don't seem to get that it is your privilege, your entitlement that you're exhibiting that makes you believe that. That crap, that you have a position, that you are speaking from a position of enlightenment, which you're not.
It is really ridiculous. And predictably enough, what happened was is African-Americans on Twitter just totally went after Sirota on Twitter.
Yeah, and eviscerated him.
Exactly.
Destroyed him.
Yeah. And what they did is they elicited from Sirota the exact reaction you're talking about, where Sirota began to quote Martin Luther King back to them. In response to these attacks.
Exactly. And again, oddly enough, it took this to make me understand white privilege.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, because I'm looking at this and I'm just going, dude, who do you think you are?
Wow.
You cannot – there's a difference between the privilege of like, look, you know.
Huge.
No. I mean, look, you know, I'm still not a fan of that term. But I do – and of course, I'm not stupid. I understand the – you know, I understand what the point of it is. I understand what people are trying to get across by bringing that up. But it's more than just privilege to literally lecture – to literally take the position as a white person of I white David Sirota care more about people of color than all of you. Yeah. And I'm going to stand with you sort of, but actually kind of above you. And I'm going to quote Martin Luther King, because personally I think that if Martin Luther King were here right now, he and I would stand shoulder to shoulder with our arms around each other speaking to all of you, because we're the ones who know better. Jackass.
Are you following along in your scorecard at this point? I mean, Barack Obama as George Zimmerman, Anwar al-Awlaki, known terrorist, as Trayvon Martin, and David Sirota as Martin Luther King.
Exactly. Yeah.
He was actually saying, look at me, all I'm doing is what Dr. King did.
Yeah. He's like that guy. He's like the hipster guy at the who likes hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and who really, really, man, the new Jay-Z record. I'm down with it.
He's out there on that limb, just sawing
Magna
away.
Magna Carta, Holy Grail.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And then what I discovered as sort of the end cap on all of this was that Sirota blocked me on Twitter. And I didn't even write to him on Twitter. Sirota blocked me on Twitter. And I didn't.
Of course
even,
he did.
I didn't even tweet to him. I didn't say.
I told you, that happened to me forever ago.
So he blocked me punitively because I wrote something mean about him on the Daily Banter.
No, little Davy Sirota. He's so upset.
By the way, speaking of blocking, you know, Greenwald linked to one of my tweets and by the way, called me a drooling idiot.
Wow. You should be honored.
I don't know how he did it, because he's long since blocked me. And when you block someone, you can't read their tweets. So how did he get to one of my tweets? How did he see it enough to link
it? Did he block you? But can he? I don't know how the hell that works.
Yeah,
when he blocks you, can he still read you and you just can't read him?
No, it's the opposite. When you block someone, you can no longer see their tweets. If you say I were to block Ches Pazienza, if I went to @ChesPazienza, I couldn't see any of your tweets. It would look like you've never tweeted.
Interesting.
So Greenwald blocked me. And then somehow was able to read one of my tweets, which leads me to believe that he did some sort of circuitous search, like on his own name, or somehow he was able to get a link to one of my tweets.
I'm sure he had Snowden set up a backdoor for him. Probably. And no, by the way, that's not the name of one of his porn movies.
Incidentally, if Snowden gets asylum in Russia, he is going to be hacking everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be breaking into computers of just to, you know, to prove a point. Snowden's a hacker. You know what hackers do? They break into other computers because they either have an agenda to show those computers or the owners of those computers that their security standards aren't high enough, or they just do it because they're mischievous ne'er-do-wells. They like to do that because they can.
And it proves how smart they are.
Yeah. And so that's what exactly Snowden's going to be doing. He gets asylum. He's going to be hacking everything. I would not put it by him to start hacking into, you know, enemies of his, or he's just going to be doing it. I mean, you know what? I mean, most hackers, the hacker who hacked me back in the fall used a Russian alias to get in. Somehow they adopted a Russian IP address.
Lovely.
And got in. Yeah. Team Romney was the hacker. So, but that's all that's going to happen. He's just going to go nuts. So, well, good. We'll wait and see what all comes of that. I'm not going to spend
time. So why did he call you a drooling idiot? Greenwald call you a drooling idiot?
Well, because there was a thing going around Twitter yesterday in which we got a break here. I know I got a break here in a second. But there was a thing going around Twitter yesterday that Greenwald and WikiLeaks had posted the exact same tweet. And it wasn't like a headline that was auto-fed to Twitter. It was one of them wrote something, and then the other either copied and pasted it, or the same person was tweeting for both accounts. And people started tweeting that around, and I simply tweeted, "Is Greenwald tweeting for WikiLeaks?" with a question mark and then a link to the two tweets. And then immediately I said, "Oh, it's clear." I subsequently tweeted that it's clear that WikiLeaks just stole Greenwald's tweet verbatim, just copied and pasted it, put it in their own account.
Right.
And then he called me a drooling idiot for, you know, raising a conspiracy theory somehow.
Oh, my God.
I was a drooling idiot. Then he leaked, linked right to that tweet.
Oh, how nice of him. Did he specifically say Bob Seska is a drooling idiot?
No, he said he thanked Rosie Gray because I think Rosie Gray from BuzzFeed started the thing. And then he's like, thanks, Rosie, for sicking all of these drooling idiots on me. So it's like me and other people, technically.
Right.
But he linked specifically to my tweet somehow, even though he's blocked me and can't see any of my tweets. How would he actually see the tweet?
Because Snowden's working. Snowden's hacking you.
Snowden got into my Twitter account, I guess. Right? Now I'm a drooling idiot for raising that conspiracy theory. I don't really believe that Snowden got into my Twitter account. Stupid. Hey, we got a break for Bubble Genius right back after this. Oh, hi. Brought to you every week. This show is... I don't know why I said it like that. We're always brought to you by BubbleGenius.com since the very beginning. BubbleGenius.com has supported this podcast. We always appreciate their support, and we try to do our best to sell lots of soap for them. So if you like this show, if you support this show, go to BubbleGenius.com, buy all of your bath and body products, because not only because we sent you, but also because it's really damn good stuff. It's vegan, woman-owned, handmade soap. Another bath and body. It's funny, too. Lots of stuff. You just go and have a good laugh at their website. They got really clever soaps in various shapes and forms and colors and scents. A lot of fun to just go there. So go to BubbleGenius.com. Do it now.
Hey, I see you've got a bag from my favorite makers of bath and body stuff, Bubble Genius. What's in the bag?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah, I would. I love their silly soaps.
Gee, you sound pretty Amsterdam excited to see what bubbly treat I've got.
Well, yeah. So, what'd you get?
I'm trying to tell you if you just pay attention. Okay, I'll give you one last hint. Dutch shoe!
Bless you? Hey, why won't you tell me what Bubble Genius soap is in the bag?
I guess I've really got to spell it out for you. I got the Dutch treat wooden shoe soap.
Ha ha!
All vegetable-based, of course, and smelling like delicious sunshine.
Oh, cool! So, a clog you'd actually want going down your drain!
Those bubble geniuses sure are bubble geniuses.
Bubblegenius.com! Awesome.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Hey, you know what? You can get 15% off your entire order from BubbleGenius.com if you type in this this promo code when you go to checkout. It's Bob and Chez, B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, our names, right there, with an and in the middle. And you get 15% off. It's a bargain at twice the price. We pass the savings along to you. So, continuing on with our racism show. I don't know. I made it perfectly clear. I don't know if Sirota is genuinely a racist. I don't know him. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he believes, other than what I read. But, you know, if
no,
people are led to that...
I don't think he thinks he's a racist.
If people are led to that conclusion, it's his own fault for writing such ridiculousness. So
yeah, no, I mean I'm always very reticent to throw the word racist around. I don't think Sirota's a racist. Again, I think he's just I think Sirota is a lover of Sirota.
That's right. That's right. That's to me, again, that's what makes it really egregious what he wrote, is if, you know, it was if it was designed as link bait, if it was designed to just draw people to Salon.com and to look at his stuff, to make sure that everyone knew that he was still around.
Dude, an entire book about Die Hard and Ghostbusters.
Yeah, he has a conflation problem. He really does. He conflated Ghostbusters, Die Hard with modern politics. He also conflated, I don't know if you knew this, he conflated Adam Serwer. Remember the big battle between Serwer and Greenwald over Daniel Serwer?
Yep.
At the time, Sirota chimed in, you know, like a...
Of course he did. He's got to get in on Greenwald's tail,
yeah, like
so to speak.
Like a good little yappy dog. He compared Serwer to George W. Bush.
Of course. Why not? It doesn't have to make sense.
Because why not? Right.
Yeah.
Adam Serwer.
He's like, who was it who used to do... Was it Conan... Who used to do the he had like the little mouth moving. Remember that when he did late night, he had the mouth moving thing next to him that Smigel used to do. Well, he had one that was Jesse Ventura, and whenever he brought Jesse Ventura on, the running gag was that Ventura would just say anything that came out, you know, anything that came to mind. And that's like Sirota. He's like, you know, when it comes to saying something outrageous, it's like midgets should be used as food. There it is. People read that. You know, God is gay.
Right. And that, by the way, great Jesse Ventura impression.
I try.
Hey, well, speaking of impressions we like to do on the show, Rush Limbaugh kind of stepped in it, too.
The only thing I can say about this before we even get into it is, you know what, dude, seriously, you think it's okay? You think Rachel Jontel gave you permission to say nigga?
That's
true. Let me tell you this, fat boy. Try going up to, let's see, who can we choose? Go out, just, you know what, I'll tell you what, just go to Florence and Normandy, mm-hmm, here in L.A. Just walk up to anybody you see, any black person you see, and just, you personally, Rush Limbaugh, just walk right up and say, what's up, nigga? And watch what happens.
Yeah,
and see whether that's okay.
Excuse me, excuse me, my man. Rush Limbaugh here, a talent unknown from God. I just want to say, Holmes, do you mind if I call you nigga? Oh, ow. No, stop.
Right. Really, he is. We've how many times have we said it? He is the flip side of the exact same coin from Sirota, because he's doing the same thing. He's trolling.
Yeah.
He's saying things that he knows people are going to get pissed about, mm-hmm, and every time they do, his little ditto heads. Oh, right, you're making them upset, Rush. You're so great, mm-hmm, you know. And it's the same thing Sirota does, you know. And then he gets more people, you know, idiots at the Huffington Post. You know, not calling them all idiots, but you know, they throw up the giant 800 point type headline that says Rush is a racist, you know, and it's just more crap for him.
Yeah,
and that's why he did it.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna talk about another example of this after the break. But yeah, I mean, this is what Rush Limbaugh is really, really good at. He's really, if you want to study how to be a great troll, just go and listen to the Rush Limbaugh program for a couple hours every day. And he does it all day long. He does it all day. In fact, it's hard to pick things out. I imagine I give lots of credit to guys like Oliver Willis who monitor this stuff as their job for media, yeah, for Media Matters. They have
I honestly think that behind like psychologists, cops, and dentists, I think it is. I think that anyone who works at Media Matters as a researcher or somebody who has to follow Rush Limbaugh all day and look for the stupid crap he says, that person has to be somewhere up near the top of the professions with the highest suicide rate. I would kill myself after like a couple of months doing that.
I think, yeah, and you know what? I have to disagree with you because I actually used to do that just as a matter of like I'm driving around in the car, I'm going to turn this crap on.
But you're crazy.
That's true.
I can't handle that. That's true. And I have friends of mine who do the same thing, who like they listen to Limbaugh because they want to get upset. They want to hear what it is that he's having to say. And I'm just like, I can't.
I'm beginning to question my own sanity. I because I would listen to the AM talk radio shows while driving around the car. I've been listening to Genesis on endless loop. I think I'm really becoming Patrick Bateman. I swear to God.
You are.
So yeah. So to monitor.
There is an image of Bob Seska.
One last break back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
You got an issue with Hooters, Chez?
The Hooters, dear God.
This reminds me of my freshman year in high school. Time is all
we have. Yeah, I was a junior.
Yeah. You're 2 years older than me.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who was who moved there from North Carolina to freaking Pace High in like Opa-locka/Hialeah, Florida, with nothing but nothing but Cuban Americans. It was hilarious, and he loved the Hooters.
Hooters. It's a great album. It's a great album. I also like the track All You Zombies off of that album.
I never liked that song.
Yeah. Anyway, so moving on. So speaking of trolls, Ted Nugent is also in the news for basically trolling, for doing the exact same thing as Rush Limbaugh did. And but that doesn't make it any...
Ted Nugent, who's a nobody, who until he decided to become an insane political firebrand, was a nobody.
Yeah. He said about the Zimmerman verdict, all thinking people are very relieved that George Zimmerman was found not guilty by the intelligent, justice-driven women of the jury, in spite of the facade presented by the prosecution and forced by the threat of racism by everyone from President Obama to Eric Holder, the new Black Panther gangsters. There's an issue right there. The NAACP, excuse makers of every stripe, and even the governor of Florida. But still this innocent man who simply defended his life from a violent, life-threatening, bloodying, head-and-face-slamming attack by an enraged black man-child.
There it is. Enraged black man-child.
Was so wrongly paid an inexplicable price financially and emotionally. Well, let's all shed a big tear. One tear for poor George Zimmerman. And
can we shoot him? Not Zimmerman, but can we shoot Nugent? You just, again, you know, he's another one of the, like that piece that I wrote last week. He's another one of those guys where if you actually held a gun to his head, if you actually put him in a position of having to stare down one of the weapons he loves so much, he would do what he always does in situations like that, what he did to get out of Vietnam, and shit his pants.
That's right. It's easy as hell to sit in a helicopter with a semi-automatic machine gun and mow down a herd of pigs. Or, in the case of Sarah Palin, to shoot, you know, wolves from the safety of a helicopter.
Yeah, there's no danger there to you.
So fun. We're such a effed up, primitive people. I swear to God, who the hell are we?
We're first of all, we're a country that's doomed. Mm-hmm. Inevitably, eventually, this empire will not last. There's just no way. I'd like to believe that we will. I really do. But I think my kids are probably going to certainly see a time when there's, you know, when America is no longer the superpower that it's been throughout my lifetime.
It was the other Trayvon Martin story.
Which one?
It was this guy, John Spooner, in Milwaukee.
What was that?
John Spooner, this 76-year-old man, and there's actual video of the shooting. This African-American kid, Darius Simmons, steps out of his house, down a stoop, picks up a couple of trash cans off of the street corner, his family's trash cans. He was 13 years old. Hauled those trash cans back into the alleyway. Well, just the one. Comes back out for the second one. This old codger, John Spooner, 76 years old, brandishing a handgun.
Of course.
Walks down and begins to accuse Simmons of stealing, you know, the old man's other firearms out of his house. And when Darius Simmons, and you can see in the video, it is heartbreaking video. This kid
did somebody actually get it on video?
Oh yeah, it was caught by a private surveillance video, and it was shown in the courtroom, in this guy's trial, this old man's trial. This kid, this 13-year-old kid, backing away. You can see it quite plainly, unarmed, backing away. This guy, this old man, shot Darius Simmons, killed him point blank with his handgun, without provocation. Thank God. Thank God he was found guilty today.
He was just found guilty, show, but who he cares? Guilty. He's 76 years old. You can't do anything to him.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't do a thing to him. What are you going to do? So he's going to spend the next freaking 3 years in jail.
Yeah.
In prison.
You see in the video, Simmons shot in the chest. He actually still had enough consciousness to run away before collapsing. Unbelievable. Nice. I mean, Ashby sent me this video, and I hadn't seen the video. I'd known about the trial. I was aware of the trial, but I hadn't seen the video. And when I watched this video, it was heart-wrenching. I mean, didn't you see – you had something that you posted on your site this week on Deus Ex Malcontent where you were just in tears watching it. It was about a little girl with cancer.
Oh, yeah. It was Hazel Hammersley. She's this circulated across the net pretty quickly over the past couple of days. She and her mom, she's out here in L.A. at mm-hmm. L.A. Children's Hospital. She's 2 years old. She's battling cancer. And her mom put tape on the inside of her hospital window that said, send pizza room, I think it was 4112. Some Redditors driving by saw that, you know, posted it to Reddit. And the Redditors called in like a million pizzas and everybody on her cancer ward ate pizza. The thing that, mm-hmm. in addition to the heartbreak of I don't want to get in talking about that. I didn't want to get on my anti-religion soapbox, but I kid you not, the thing that makes me believe less than anything that makes me understand that there is no benevolent God is the idea of a cancer ward with a bunch of children in it. There's no such thing as any benevolent God that would allow a child in any country for any reason to live a life at the age of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 where their whole life has been nothing but suffering. That's completely screwed to me. That to me is unfathomable. But obviously the thing that completely destroyed me about it is, and if you go to my blog and you look at it, Huffington did a really nice little sort of photo essay of, you know, the sort of her story. And the very first picture of this little girl, this 2-year-old girl, she had her hair. It was before she got her hair shaved. Mm-hmm. And she is the spitting image of Inara.
Oh,
and
God.
So I was just, I mean, you know, very, not spitting, but very close. And I was like, that made me lose it completely. Because mm-hmm. she looks like my kid. Yeah. Well, and I mean, you know, my heart breaks for that family and for the little girl. And it's, yeah, that was nice. It was nice to see people do something nice for her.
Yeah. Well, if you watch this video of this guy shooting this kid, I mean, 13-year-old kid doing nothing wrong except bring in broad daylight, mind you, broad daylight, taking his trash cans in front of his mom. His mom was standing inside the door.
And some asshole shoots him.
Some old man entitled with his entitlement to a handgun goes out and shoots this kid in the chest, kills him for taking in the trash cans.
You want to tell me
that would happen if that old man had been forbidden from owning a handgun?
Look,
never would have happened.
Speaking from a parental perspective, while we're on that subject for a half a second, mm-hmm. The Trayvon Martin case is one of the very first cases where, because Trayvon was relatively young, you know, I mean, he wasn't a little kid, but, you know, relatively young, I do have an appreciation more so from this case than I've ever had before for – I, of course, do not know what it's like to be a young black man, to be a black parent in America. But when that verdict came down – and I saw sort of the reactions and I watched the rallies, I really did start thinking, I'm like, God, what does a black parent in the United States after this say to their sons and daughters, especially to their sons? You know, look, kid, you're a target. You are a target.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are worth less than most people. And most people think that you're a criminal. Based solely, and I mean, I know that this, you know, this is the big wake-up call. I get it. You know, I should have realized this a long time ago, and I always did, but never was it presented so clearly in my face of, wow, you know what? Being a black parent, being a parent of a young black boy, black man in this society has got to suck.
Yeah.
It's got to be an exercise in 24/7 terror.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't know. You send your son out to take in the garbage cans, and they're going to get shot right in front of your face.
Yeah. You think, you know, most of us think we're safe, and we're generally not. You know, anything can happen to any of us at any time. But dear God, the odds when you're a young black man, when you're a black kid.
I can't help but to wonder maybe what the verdict would have been had there not been this video. Or if there had been video in the Trayvon Martin case.
If there had been – well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the worst part about all of this is what this – well, I mean, worst part from a legal perspective about all of this is what it said was, you know what? You get into an argument with somebody, kill that motherfucker. Because guess what? When that happens, you get to jettison – you know, to quote Aliens, you get to jettison the body and make up any story you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you get to do. If you're the last man, if you stand your ground and you're the last man standing, guess what you get? You get to make up the narrative.
Yep.
You get to create the story.
That's right.
Because if that other person survives, then you basically left a living witness.
Mm-hmm. That's what's so insidious about Ted Nugent's remarks and some of the other remarks from the right, all these Zimmerman supporters, is it's so easy for them to take Zimmerman's side because – there's no Trayvon Martin anymore. Doesn't exist. The kid was killed.
Yeah, they've made up whatever story suited them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really know what happened. And I'll tell you something, even if I supported what Zimmerman did, which I don't, but even if I did, I would at least, you know, Eric Erickson of all freaking people.
Oh God.
Eric Erickson, who has done some terrible things, said one decent thing. Well, and by the way, this—you know how low the bar is set for decent things. When all you have to do is say, "Look, there are no winners in all this. Oh, a boy is dead. You know, a guy. I feel good about the verdict, but a guy's gone free whose life's changed." For basically, by acknowledging that, like, look, I'm not going to rejoice over this. That's how low we've set the bar. Because that, I was willing to go, oh, well, that's nice of him. You know, because there are people out there who are just dancing on Trayvon Martin's grave.
Right.
And it's like, even if you agree with the verdict, even if you think legally they had no grounds, they had no standing, fine. But dude, just the what it takes for you, the sociopathy that it takes for you to say, oh, ha ha, wonderful, justice is served, let's go have a beer. Yeah, you're right. We're doomed, man. Oh, I'm right.
Yeah. I just, you know, I look at stuff like that and I just can't help but to think that pops into my head. We're gonna be sort of pivoting off of that observation with a topic on the after party.
By the way, Richard Cohen, please tell me Richard Cohen.
Well, no, it's actually not necessarily associated with any sort of racism or anything like that.
Richard Cohen's piece was a work of art.
Oh my God. I got to look at guys like Richard Cohen and David Sirota and ask them, do you not have editors? Do you not have people around you that vet some of this stuff before it gets thrust into the world? It is absolutely thoughtless. It never occurred to these guys, Richard Cohen, David Sirota, all the rest of them, that people would be able to read this stuff and go, oh my God, what the...
Sirota's a troll, but Cohen is a racist. Yeah. Cohen is a racist, and he is a racist who believes that, you know, again, God, the privilege. He is a racist who believes that he can sit from on high and tell the world difficult truths.
Yeah.
That's what he believes that he is in the unique position as the, you know, as the aging, emeritus of douchebaggery to lecture everyone, not just black people, but black and white people on the realities.
Yeah.
You know, that's who Cohen is. Cohen's just a gigantic, pompous, puffed up jackass.
The reality, the blame the victim reality. You know, if she hadn't been wearing that miniskirt, she might not have been raped. If he hadn't been wearing that hoodie, he might not have been shot.
Yeah.
Un-effing believable. Ted Nugent continues, but George Zimmerman and his entire family, innocent of any wrongdoing, have lost everything and will be in debt for a long, long time. Oh, yeah, and Trayvon Martin's wallowing in cash right now. And accolades. He's dead.
But you know what?
We're supposed to weep for Zimmerman.
No, is this the Nugent piece you're still reading from?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, look, you know what? Here's the thing. The Nugent piece tips its cards to the fact that they have to utterly dehumanized Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm, right.
He isn't the reason, you know, I just said a minute ago that at least Eric Erickson said, you know, look, a boy is dead. Mm-hmm. They can't do that. In order for them to be able to be the way they are and to paint this incident the way that they painted it, they have to make Trayvon Martin, he can't even be a kid. He's got to be a thug, period. That's it.
Yeah, Nugent calls him here the Skittles hoodie boy.
No,
it goes worse. This is a murder to the poor, helpless, dope smoking, dope peddling, gangsta wannabe Skittles hoodie boy.
Wow. I'm serious. Can we just shoot him? I have a gun, and unlike unlike Nugent, I lean to the left. And why am I not a quote unquote liberal with a gun?
Yeah.
Why don't I use it that way?
By the way, this was not the first really racist thing that Ted Nugent has said recently.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, he's just talking about shooting hogs from a helicopter. Lots of places have a hog problem, Nugent said. In Texas, the hogs have a Ted problem. That's hilarious. He described the giddy joy of shooting from an open copter with an M4 machine gun. And 4 hours later, I had 450 dead hogs, he said to loud applause. Then he added an afterthought that produced ample laughs. And now if they would just take me to South Central. Ladies and gentlemen, Ted Nugent, future Republican candidate for president.
Right, because the people from South Central are such a threat to the people in Texas. Yeah, first, again, you know, again, he's a tough talker, but if you ever actually put him in that situation, drop his ass in South Central. Watch how That's quickly right. he survives.
Yeah. He'll just, he'll do like he did in Vietnam, or when he was drafted for Vietnam. Smear himself in his own feces, and then call it a day. Hey, the after party is tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern Time, $6 a month. Cancel anytime. Subscribe at bobsesca.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely. And see you on the after party. Bye.
Goodbye.